Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with us quickly on the glory of the crucified Christ. The glory of the crucified Christ. I'm sure that God willing, with time, we'll have the testimony in full. Just this week, one of our brothers had a terrible, an incident that occurred, and I'm just grateful to God, because as soon as I was called to tell him about it, what came to my mind was, I can't remember burying anybody in this church that is maybe somebody who has been an active member of the church. I've not had to. So I was just thinking, the year is running out, because the way it was coming. But thank God he did not lose his life. He was robbed at Alakija Bridge. And while they were about to, probably shoot something, he jumped over the bridge and broke his legs. Jumped over the bridge. I don't know if you know what that bridge looks like, how high. That's Alakija Bridge. So they were about to, after collecting the laptop and blah, blah, they wanted to shoot something, and he had to jump over the bridge, and he broke his leg. But thank God that he's alive. And that's one of the things that's the joy in my own heart this morning, that we would not have to announce. Those of us in Sanctuary Keeper's Department, who works with them there, would not have to announce that anyone passed on. And I'm sure that by the grace of God, God helping us, we will never have that kind of untimely death in the name of Jesus. Now, let me just take us on a journey as fast as I can this morning. I want to talk on the glory of the crucified Christ. The glory of the crucified Christ. I would beg us to please pay attention. Some of us in the regions where we don't have screen. Is the screen there working now? The one there? Is it working? Okay, I wanted to get another one here, but somehow we could not fix it yesterday night. Just bear with us. We're going to fix everything. We're trying to get another large screen here so that everybody up will be able to see. Then over time, another one here. And we'll settle the hall. Then we'll be sure that we have it. Because I'm going to be showing us some things, and you will need to see screen, but wherever you are, just bear with us. This one, just endure. It get better. It can only get better. I want to say that the life and the ministry of Jesus and the death of Jesus Christ was not a myth, like one of the stories you tell about the Greek gods, Zeus and the rest of them. It's not a myth. It's a real life story. Jesus was a real human being like every one of us. So many people still have, the thoughts and assumptions. Did it really happen? Did he really die? Is it true? You need to come to terms with it, that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is not a symbolic religious story. It is not a religious story. Please get it right. It is not just a symbolic religious. It's a real story. Real story. Real story. An event that happened in history that has records. And it is worthy of note that historians that are not Christians, just Jewish historians, and some of them Greek writers, like Josephus, Tacitus, Lucian, these guys are writers, renowned writers. They have testimonies of the fact that Jesus existed in the first century. They were first century writers, rather. Their testimonies that Jesus existed as a human being. He had disciples. He had large followership. And he was a Jew. Real practical story. You know, sometimes when we read some of things in the Old Testament, some people usually will also think, can it be real? Are you sure that thing ever happened? Yeah, these are real stories. Why? Because archaeologists can also take us back to the location where some of those things happened. The names of the rivers, they are real. They still exist. Red Sea, the Jordan River, Mount Carmel, all of them, real life stories. Just imagine that many years after we are here, people are imagining whether we are real. They are imagining, are you sure they are real? Did they really exist? Are you sure? Are we here together? So it brings me to the fact that you must come to terms, the fact that Jesus Christ lived one time in history and he did the things that the Bible recorded that he did. In fact, the Bible said that some of the things that Jesus did in his lifetime, if it were to be recorded in a book, there will be no book to record all of them. You can't carry the book. How many books? If a book is bigger than this, you can't carry it. So if they have to record the things that Jesus did, you cannot put it as one codified document in a book. He did so much because every single day in 3.5 years of his active ministry life, he was doing signs and wonders. Things were happening every day. Every single day. Even those who are skeptics, some people who do not believe, as it were, you know, in the existence of God, some of them allude to the fact that a real human being called Jesus really did exist. We know that the guy exists and all that. They may not believe, but they know that this is not something you just throw off. Pontius Pilate was a real human being. Caesar, real human being. These guys were there. And if these guys were there practically and lived their lives normally, how do you want to conclude then that Jesus is not real? Because people have different things that people say, but majority of people agree that Jesus is real. The Garden of Gethsemane is there. The Mount Olive is there. The Temple Mountain, the stories, some of these things, they have their parts. The road where Jesus Christ passed, if you go for pilgrimage to Golgotha, all these things are there. Real life things. The Jews still celebrate some of their feasts today to show that he lived amongst the people. They have their Jewish feasts that they still celebrate. There are people today who are practical Jews. Judaism is their religion. They exist. So it is critical that we come to understand that. Because if you do not know the story of the crucified Christ, you will not appreciate the beauty of the glorified Christ. It is unfortunate that the church talks a lot about the glorified Christ, and we talk about the crucified Christ only on Easter Sunday. And it is easy because human beings forget, so it's easy for them to forget. It is easy for people to just go around and just forget that, oh, that's it, it's gone, it's gone. It's not. No wonder he did something at the Last Supper. He said, this thing, do it in remembrance of me. In remembrance. In other words, every time you take the communion, every time before you come before the cup and the wine, he said, please ensure that the most important thing that you are mentioning to people is that I died, I was buried, and I was raised alive. He said, do it in remembrance of me. As often as you do this, you are showing the Lord's death. Can you see that? You are showing the Lord's death until he comes. So Jesus wants us to remember his death until he comes. And he says every time we are coming before the communion table, we are going to have our last communion for the year. I don't think any one member of the church should miss it. Every time you miss a communion, you are disregarding an instruction of Jesus. It's supposed to be part of it. Every disciple of Jesus, every born again believer. Worship in the church where the power of the communion is believed, you participate. Very important. And we announce the dates. So because many believers are not aware of the sufferings of Jesus, the betrayal, the torture, the crucifixion, and the burial of Jesus, they do not understand the quality of life that they are called to live. It is easy to just hear about Jesus raised from the dead and we're excited about it, but we need to go back to what he suffered. We need to go back to the way he died. We need to go back to the pain that he felt. Because every time you remember that, it does something to you. It helps to reset your mind. When you think you are doing a lot for Jesus, you need to calm down. When you think that you have done so much already, you need to calm down. Because what he did for you can never be compared to what you will do in a thousand lifetimes. Are we getting what I'm saying here? Yes. I start with the story of the few days before Jesus' encounter in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible records that Jesus had an encounter and Peter called him and scolded him and said, Jesus, you will not die. And Peter didn't know that Jesus was already in a state of mental torture, mental exhaustion, serious despair, and he was turning towards chronic mental health issue. High level. Why? Because the man you're talking about happens to be 100% God, 100% man, but he was feeling the pain of men the way men feel pain. He ate the way men ate. He laughed the way men laughed and did everything. So everything that a mortal will feel is what Jesus has started feeling few days before his death. He felt the pain of the fact that one of his beloved disciples would betray him. You know, when you start thinking, when you know the person that will betray you and you're standing in front of them, sometimes you are either thinking of killing the person or something. But because of the kind of person that he was, he knew Judas. One time he said, go and do what you have to do quickly. So 7 days to that time, 21 days, he knew. They worked together and many times Judas will hug him and he will just say to himself, this is the man, this is the man, this is the man that will eventually betray me. He knew Judas. So you can imagine the mental torture. You can imagine the pain that he was feeling emotionally, how Jesus felt about everything. Just imagine the day somebody was bringing oil to pour on the feet of Jesus. The same Judas opened his mouth and he said, what a waste. Why are you pouring that kind of oil? And Jesus reminded Judas. He said, she's doing it as a result because she's doing something for my burial in memorial of me. And he didn't remind Judas that you are the one that will betray me. He knew it. He walked together with Peter and he looked at the face of Peter. The moment where Peter said to him, Jesus, if everybody leaves you, I will never leave you. He said, Jesus, look at me very well. Jesus looked at him. He said, Jesus, I am ready to die for you. Whatever the case, I will die. And each time Jesus saw Peter say that, tears with a broken heart, he would say, this man, just before the cock will crow 3 times, will deny me. He never told them exactly, but he was feeling it on the inside. He had all these things boiling within him. He knew everything. Why? Because at the point where Jesus was, he had read everything about him. He had seen the Romans crucify people. He had seen the pain of crucifixion. It was a normal thing. The Romans didn't invent crucifixion, but they bought it with all their lives. Because the Roman soldiers were trained in the act of serious, painful, slow torture. They had different ways of killing people, but they preferred the act of serious, painful, slow torture to death. And everybody dreaded it. That's why if the Roman soldiers are in charge of it, you don't rise. If you raise your head, you're gone. You're gone because they were trained that way. Very hard, difficult people. And Jesus saw all these things. He knew the pain that awaited him. He knew the betrayal. He knew the separation from the Father. That one would have been so painful that for the first time in the whole of history, I would look up to my Father and he would tell me, son, don't just look at my face right now. Do what you have to do. Jesus saw all these things. He felt everything. And you can just imagine a human being going and he left that place and he decided to spend time in Gethsemane. A few hours before his death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ decided that he was going to spend time. Then something happened in that garden. While he was there praying, for 3 hours, he prayed a particular prayer point. You know when you're praying one prayer point for 3 hours? When you are trying to negotiate your destiny and consider whether it will be possible for certain things not to happen. The Bible says that while Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the same guys that would still betray him that was there, he said, join me in prayer. They were sleeping. They were sleeping. He came the first time, he went there to pray, and one prayer point, he said, Father, if it is possible that this cup will pass over me, if it is possible that I will not be crucified, if it is possible that I will not have to die, if it is possible that I will not be scorched, if it is possible that I will not carry that cross, Jesus, God, help me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. And while he was praying, the Bible said that something happened. Can you give me the image of Jesus there? The Bible said that while he was praying, his sweat became as drops of blood. Some people say, oh, he was still sweat. But listen, science reveals to us that there is a condition in which, as a result of mental stress and serious mental exhaustion, a person can start bleeding from the inside when the light veins under the skin, because of the stress and torture, anguish. That's another way to put it. Now, Jesus said he was in agony. In agony. You know what agony is? Look at the word agony. Another word, anguish. These are ways to refer to certain emotional, you know, stress and distress. That when a person is there, sometimes the people that feel that kind of pain are people who already have been announced. Judges have announced that now you will sit on the electric chair, they will kill you. Judges have announced that now you will be dead, died, you will die by hanging. So when they hear that thing, only a few people in the whole of history had had this same experience, where all of a sudden the blood vessels inside under their skin burst open. Then where blood, tears should come from, sweat should come from, blood will start coming out like that. He had not started the beating, but he was feeling something already. He was feeling it already. It was such a painful situation, such a terrible situation. So that night Jesus was there and he had that condition. I think they say it's hematidrosis or something. Only a few people in the whole of history have witnessed that. Now, if it never happened to human beings, people will not believe it ever happened. They will still say it's sweat. But when scientists saw that this thing has happened, wow, blood coming out of somebody's sweat pores. This is real. So it became thick. When blood is mixed with water in the cell, it became thick and it poured like that. And he was there. He will go back again and will cry. He will say, Father, if it is possible that this cup will pass over me, but please, not my will, let your will be done. Every time Jesus prayed that prayer, he saw you. He captured you. He had you in mind. Because the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured. He didn't want to go, but he had to endure the cross for the joy that was set before him. And what is the joy that was set before him? The joy of your salvation. The joy that one day you will come. One day you will hear the voice. One day you will come and be one as one that has been bought by his blood. And now you are a partaker of divine nature. You have now become a son introduced by Jesus to the Father. And that's why Jesus went through all that. While he was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, under serious, acute fear. Listen, all the emotions that Jesus, fear, you know what they call fear? He was afraid. He was afraid of death. That shows you that this is a human being. He was afraid of death. Nobody ever sees death and will stay just like that. Just like the story I said, our brother, he saw death and he jumped. That was the only way to escape. That's what the order. I don't want to die. Why will I just die like this? And this situation that Jesus Christ felt, it is either you see it and you start running or you fight for your life. But they came close to him and they wanted to hold him. Instead of fighting, when Peter brought out his sword and he cut the ear of one of the guys that was sent from the palace, and he did that, Jesus Christ said, no. I know my pain. I know what I'm going through. I have prayed to the Father, and for 3 hours, he has not said anything. It is not a time to fight. The good response would have been either to fight or take a flight. Disappear. That was the best response. And if they run, probably they will not catch them. Run to another city, and they will escape. But Jesus Christ considered you. And that's why we sang the song that he didn't want heaven without us. He brought heaven down. Are we here together? Is anybody getting what I'm saying now? So in the face of imminent danger, we see Jesus pray from that time, 12 o'clock. And when it was about 3 a.m., between 3 a.m. and 9 a.m. when he was supposed to be crucified, he went through about 6 trials. About how many trials? The first one, false witnesses started contradicting themselves. Because they brought them to say things, but they were contradicting themselves. And why? He was just looking at them. And he was saying, what exactly is happening here? Why are these guys talking like this? The next one, he was brought before Herod, and he was mocked. Herod started telling him, they say you are the king. Look at you. You are just here like this. What's wrong with you? Do something. You heal the sick. You made the blind see. You raised the dead. Is this how weak you are? And Jesus was just looking at Herod and saying, look at this guy. You don't even know what we're talking about here. You don't know what we're talking about here. I have considered the salvation of humanity. I've considered the need to save them. I know that it is my assignment and my calling to save these people from their sin. He was mocked by Herod. Then they brought him to Pilate. Before that night, Pilate's wife had a dream already. and told the husband, please don't be involved in this thing. The person who had the right to set him free said, you see, I'm not going to say anything. That's another worse situation again. Why? Because they were playing into the hand of eternal justice, ordained by God for such a time as that for our sake. And Pilate said, no, let him go. Now, this is a man who's going through that kind of anguish. They now brought him to his different panels, and they were talking. Then at a particular point, when they pushed him, the soldiers started beating him. They now blindfolded him, took a blindfold on his face, so somebody would slap him, bam, and said, prophesy, let us know who slapped you. Give us a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Who slapped you? They drew his beards, and they dragged him. And each time he would shout like a normal human being in pain. And Jesus, the Bible said, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He was just there because he was going through his own season of torment, pain, rejection, so that he will save humanity. Many people who come into Christianity without knowing this story, that's the reason people live the way they live. When you get born again and you are sincerely ready to serve God, one of the things you need to know is the glory of the crucified Christ. Take your time to study. Christianity is not just for people to come to church on Sunday morning, sing, and rush back to their business, rush back to their work. No, that's not what Christianity is about. Somebody gave his life. Somebody paid the price. Somebody was crucified on the cross of Calvary for our sake. The soldiers blindfolded him. You know the funny thing? After they did that, imagine you standing in front of people. They now come here, bring their kata or whatever from their mouth and spit on you. Boom. And he would just pack the spit and do like this. Some spat and he came close to his mouth and he removed it. Was doing it for you, for me. All the things that Jesus had to bear for our sake. You know, if you don't understand it, it's good. I'm going to give you good graphical images. I'm going to try as much as possible to create the image in your heart so that all the rest of your life you remember it. It's good to remember it because he said, do this in remembrance of me. Many people don't know it. They don't know it. And that's the reason why you see people casually walking around. They just act anyhow. They don't know many things. Then all of a sudden, it got to the moment where they now say, okay, let's do the last one. They brought him before the crowd. The crowd that he fed, 5,000. The woman whose son he raised from the dead. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The neighbors of Lazarus that saw their friend Lazarus raised from the dead. They now brought a criminal, Barabbas, a rebel, standing side by side with Jesus. I want to believe blind Bartimaeus was around there. His mother was there. His siblings were there. I want to believe that some of the people that ate bread, 5,000 men. There's no how these guys will not be there, including women and children. They stood there. Their priests now came and told them. They said, you need to make a decision today. We are going to release a criminal. If you agree that the criminal will go free, tell us. And if you want us to release this man that calls himself Jesus, that fed you people, that made your blind see, that made your lame walk, that made your deaf hear. This man that has done so many miracles, if you want him to be killed now, all we want to hear is crucify him. Child of God, the congregation so loud, everybody started shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I can imagine the mental torture and shock that Jesus will feel to say, what? Human beings, you do this, you ate my bread. I healed your sick. I made your dead come back to life. I gave you joy, but this is how you are paying me back. It was the pain. All of them were there and they were shouting and they were marching, crucify him. As they are doing that, some people will push him down and he will fall. And they will say, crucify him. They will carry him up again. Before he read, they will spit on his face. And he kept on feeling all those things. Just imagine the person who has been having that kind of mental torture days before. Just imagine the person that sweats from his face with blood. The kind of blood that he had lost already sweating. And now, the people who had the opportunity to just say, please let this man go. All of them that he had helped, they ended up saying what? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. At that point, Jesus knew that his fate was sealed. There's nothing else I can do here right now. And they chose Barabbas. And guess what? Barabbas was just laughing. Barabbas was laughing. In his mind, he would have been saying, foolish people, I will still do what I'm used to doing. But guess what? The prize was also for Barabbas. It was also for him. He was doing something. He knew what he was doing. That's the Lord of glory. I want you to just have a picture in your mind. Then we get to the part that the Roman soldiers love a lot. It's called the scourging. Before the Roman soldiers would take anybody for crucifixion, please permit me, if I go down with my mic, my guys, I told you, remind me. Before they would take any person for crucifixion, One of the things they would do is serious scourging. Please, I want you to play the video for me so that I want us to see it very well. That video should be what we'll play this moment. Jesus Christ, the Roman soldiers, had instructions. And the journey had to start. This is a man that did nothing. This is a man that did not do any harm to all of them. And the high priest was there. The people that killed him were not seen as first, so he was high priest. And they flogged hell out of the life of this man. The Roman soldiers, in their way of flogging, they will flog you until they are tired. Imagine the person flogging somebody is tired. What of the person that was flogged? Probably one of the floggings, they even hit his testes as a man. And the pain of that one was added to it. Yes. Look at how the man is reacting. The man that's feeling, but look at the face. Yet somebody was feeling the pain of everything. Look at how tired this one is breathing out. And he's a human being. Look at what he started with. Then they have what they call the flagrum. The flagrum is a combination of bones and metal, lead balls, sheep bones. That's what they use. Each of them is about 2 inches or 3 inches. Attached to something like a koboko, a leather. You see it? And they flogged this man, flogged hell into him. That's the flagrum. It's not your regular koboko. Lead balls, you know, small metal balls. So that one will deal with the muscles. Then the sheep bone attached to it will pull the skin. It was said about some people that when they flogged them like this, they flogged them until their ribs and intestine came out. They were flogged like that. They crucified Christ. Even the man flogging, look at how he's reacting. Look at how he feels. The exhaustion. Talk more of the person bearing the pain. Yes. If you don't know this, you will not know how to serve Jesus. If you don't know this, viewers' discretion, some of you that cannot see it. Yes. That's the skin. That's the skin. That's exactly what happened. Because the Romans have been doing it and they know them, that they do it well. That's how Jesus died. One of the soldiers could not bear it. He was almost crying himself. Couldn't bear what was happening. The mother was there. Imagine your mother seeing you. The heart of the mother, wouldn't it rupture seeing the child dying? Then the hand also, whack, everything. Everywhere. Look at how battered, messed up, wounded. Look at the man flogging. Look at how tired. Look at how tired all of them are. Everyone. Yeah, as if that's not enough. Just watch it. This is like a normal thing playing. Look at how the body that has been messed up everywhere. That's Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, more floggings. Then the face, the eyes. They flogged him. The Bible says in Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. That means the pain and the struggle that brought us peace was passed on to him. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. They flogged him to the point where, remember, this man is mentally tortured already. Remember, this man has lost blood from his face already. Remember, this man has been betrayed by his friends already. All the mental stress now, physical stress added to it. They are dragging this body. Look at the battered body that they are dragging. A body that has been battered already. A body that has been wounded already. A body that has been messed up already. They drag the body like that. The Roman soldiers were trained for this assignment. It's called crucifixion. Go and read it in the whole of history. You will know that they did it real life to people. For you to know that it's real life, two criminals were with him. But those ones were not flogged like this. That's what Jesus went through. So that every time you are tempted to turn away from the path, remember what he went through. Every time the devil tries to push you to do something, remember what Jesus went through. Jesus did not just die as a criminal. He was not a criminal, but he died the death of a criminal. They preferred a criminal and they allowed him to suffer. Let's hold on a little bit. Let me just explain some things. And the funny thing is that, as you can see, the man that is being scourged will be stripped almost naked. The people that he healed, the people that respected him, even Joseph of Arimathea, a counselor, people that respected Jesus, they saw his naked body. There are times where while flogging people like this, even what they were wearing will pull off and they will be stark naked. That was the kind of pain. One of the reasons they could not do that is that this man will not allow them naked him. It's a movie that he's acting. He's acting a movie, can't allow them naked him. In real sense, it was said that Jesus was naked, pure, around the streets. Historians have documented stuff about all this. And that's the Jesus that died for us. Face swollen, entire body shredded, torn, the weight of sin. Can you imagine as it is right now? All the sins of the world. Only one person carries cancer and is struggling with chemotherapy. Jesus was carrying cancer. He was carrying HIV. He was carrying, what they call it now? He was carrying both typhoid and malaria. Every kind of sickness that existed and will ever exist. Why? The Bible says, surely he bore our sickness. He carried it. He bore our sickness. All the sins, the guilt of fornication that he did not commit was on him. The guilt of adultery was on Jesus. The guilt of stealing was on Jesus. Every sin that you can crown on the face of the earth, everything was just poured upon Jesus and he was carrying it. Why? The Bible says that God considered that he would be the perfect sacrifice. He must have to carry it and he did not run. He said, nevertheless, not your will, not my will, let your will be done. That's the Jesus that people talk about on the street and they just stroll anyhow. That's the Jesus that people walk away from anyhow. That's the Jesus that people don't care. They just show up on a Sunday morning and it's just normal and forget it. No. I don't want you to forget it. I want you to have a graphic image every day of your life to remember what he did. Because that's what he asked us to do. He said, every time that you talk about this thing, let it be in remembrance of me. All that he went through, everything was placed on one man at the same time. Then at a particular point, while he was feeling all this pain, then the soldiers brought what they call the crown of thorns. You know what a thorn is? About 3 to 4 inches. How many of us have plucked roses? Original, new roses. Roses always have thorns around. Then they pick thorns. Some of those things you have in your... Maybe that's where I can explain that. Thorns are usually very thick. They are wood now. But thick. Then they folded everything. Then they carried and pierced. Then blood started flowing again. Imagine the headache, migraine. Medical scientists did all the studies and they did that if they were to do the autopsy of Jesus... And what happened to him? That he was going through serious migraine. That he probably died of a headache that he could not stand again. That is their medical own prognosis and everything. That this is what we see. What that kind of man went through. By the time he had that migraine, remember emotional torture. Remember everything there. And now he is carrying that thorn on his head. Then the next thing, they brought a wood for him to carry. The one that he will have to carry. Why? The man that has been beaten must carry his cross by himself. Yes, they carry their cross. Nobody will carry the cross for the man. The man will carry the cross by himself. Then all of a sudden, with this man carrying this thorn on the head, all his back battered and shattered, they now carried a thorn that is about the size of one bag of cement, 50 kg. It's usually between 35 to 50 kg, the weight of the thorn. But the whole cross is about 135 kg because the longer one is thicker and, you know, weightier than the other one. And Jesus carried one of that one. And as he was carrying it, he was carrying you. He was carrying you. You need to understand it. Because every time we don't understand, I just wonder how people think, how people live, how people just feel like they can just do it anyhow. No, he didn't do it anyhow. The sacrifice that brought you redemption was perfect. You know why? When he was carrying that thing, I carried everything upon himself like that. As he was going down, he would have to walk about a mile. You know the distance again. Somebody that has been beaten that much. Then they carry upon all, you know, the flogging was already on the hand. Then you will now carry a wood that was not properly sandpapered. That means the wood has its own everything around it. They will carry it on here. Then every time he moved back, the thorn will pierce the wood and it will enter. It will come back again. He has to push the wood away from the thorn on his head. Because each time the wood touches the thorn, it will pierce into his head again. And he was feeling the pain and he was carrying it. Then there were times where he got tired. He fell down. He fell down. He didn't fall because he was weak. Anybody who had gone through that kind of thing will fall. Anybody who had gone through that kind of pain, there's no how you will not fall. And most of the times when he falls like that, don't forget that the ground is not tiled. It's not bed. It's not foam. He fell on stones with a body that has been battered and shattered. Sand enters the wound and he's carrying everything like that. And he was still going a mile. He couldn't go. One third of that journey he fell already. Then they saw a black man, Simon of Cyrene, and they said, please come and help this guy carry his cross. And Simon of Cyrene supported him to carry his cross. Why? He couldn't carry it. It was not easy for him. What he was carrying was so much already. And you know the funny thing? At the point where that was happening, immediately that kind of thing was happening, it was even possible for Jesus to just consider and say, hey, I am not the Son of God. I renounce everything I have said. Everything I ever said about myself is a lie. I disagree. Please, I don't want to die. That was all they were waiting for. But he did not say it. He moved down to the cross. And when he gets there, the long vertical one will be waiting there already. He was carrying the horizontal one. Then when they put Jesus Christ, that same back, that back, when he gets there, they will first turn the back to the floor. The stones and everything, the back hits the floor. And they will now lay his back on that horizontal beam. When they lay it on the horizontal beam, with the other one by the side, you will think that they will just do it normal. Jewish people started using rope after the death of Jesus because they saw the pain of nails. So they moved to rope, felt it was too much. But guess what? Jesus had to go to give the other picture that I gave to you. I gave you pictures. Please show me my pictures. Show me my pictures. I want everybody to see it. I want them to sleep and have the dream this night. Go back. The first one. The first. Go start from the first one. This one. This was the beating and everything. Go to the second one. Second one, please. This is it. Normally, when we tell us about the crucifixion of Jesus, we say that they nailed Jesus here. You can't nail him here because the weight of his body will not be able to sustain. He was nailed by his wrist here. And that place, it will have to pass through certain muscles. It will have to cut through some veins. And all the blood flowing from his heart that was supposed to go around his body will be pouring out. And because his heart was still active, he was pumping blood. He kept on pumping. And they put a nail, usually 5 to 7 inches nail, 13 to 18 centimeter, and they put it in that place right there. Look at all the things that it will pass. The median vein, the radial artery, flux strip, all the grammar, medical, whatever. And they carry the nail, put it there with hammer. The last time ordinary hammer hit your hand when you were trying something, how did you feel? The last time fire burnt you while you were cooking, how did you feel? Then they now carry this one. Medical scientists say it is like taking an electric, a live wire and putting it at a shock of somebody's body. That was what the man that had been feeling the whole pain felt again. And it was not on one hand. They put on this one. While he was trying to survive the pain of this one, it was said that if they try to stretch your hand, it has to be on equal place so that your head will balance well. They carried rope and they drew his joints out of place. The hand came out, bam, and they stretched it and they dropped it. And that same hand, they put inside the wrist and they smashed everything inside. As if it is not enough, his body will not be sustained by that rib alone. They need to help it a little bit. So they will carry the leg of Jesus Christ. They will put it in a manner like this. Then they will carry nails, the same nails. They will screw it inside, put it there, and they will start nailing. Look at it. Look at it. The nails will enter this place. That's why when Jesus was raised from the dead, Thomas said, I can't believe it until you show me your hand. And Jesus looked at Thomas. He said, Thomas, again? He said, yes. And he brought the hand and showed Thomas. And Thomas shouted, my Lord and my God. That's the time Thomas decided to really believe Jesus. That means all the while they were going, he didn't believe it yet. That's how many people will come to church, but we don't believe him yet. I want to pray that today, maybe God will open somebody's heart, that you will see Jesus in a different light. You will see him in a different way. You will appreciate him in a different way. When you are pursuing many things in this world, and you have to remember the crucified Christ, I pray that it will create an impression in your heart that he really suffered for you. He bled. All the bleeding. Look at the leg of Jesus Christ pushed like that. And guess what? This last part is very terrible. It's so bad because when somebody is on the cross like that, they will now lift the cross. So when they lift the cross up like that, his hand, the pain from this one will go. The pain here. He wouldn't even know which pain to bear per time because all was happening simultaneously. And Jesus Christ was raised like that. And when a person is raised on the cross like this, the thing is this. Because of the weight and the fear, he will have to bend. And when he bends like that, the ribs will go on that side. He can't breathe out well. Medical science says that if he tries to breathe, he will have to go up with the back scratching on that wood that is rough. He will have to go up, breathe in. Then if he must breathe out, we balance back with the scratch back. He did it for 6 hours. It took him 6 hours before he died. 6 hours. He did that up and down. Up and down. Look at it. respirations during crucifixion, left inhalation with elbows extended and shoulders abducted, respiratory muscles of inhaling and passively stretch, and the thorax is expanded, right? Everything together, breathing in and breathing out, will become an issue. All of that is the rib where they flogged the other time. Everything that had happened to Jesus like that. And guess what? While Jesus was going through that thing, he now called his father, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my father, why have you forsaken me? And the father looked away from Jesus. And when he took his face off Jesus, he was seeing you. It was just you he was seeing. He was looking at us. And he's saying, more sons to glory. One has to die. One has to go for others to live. When Jesus felt all this pain of crucifixion, you will now come as a Christian and do your Christianity casually. You don't know him. No wonder Paul woke up one day and said that I may know you. He said, I need to know you. He said, and the power of your resurrection. He said, Jesus, show me a little bit of the fellowship of your suffering. How many times do Christians quote the Bible? They cannot see fellowship of the suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. And you tell people today that they will go through anything, they will say, no, 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 no. Sir, listen, Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you will be glorified with me. Many people don't want to suffer. You know why Peter died the way he died? You know why Thomas died the way he died? You know why those guys gave themselves? They saw it firsthand, how their master died. And they said to themselves, if he died for us, what is the big deal if we have to die the same way? Historians had it that one time when they were about to kill Peter, again, Peter was about to run away. He was about to run because they were about to kill him. They were going after him. The historian said that Peter now remembered what Jesus did on the cross. Then he ran back to them and he turned himself. The first time I ran away, this time I'm running to him. And he told them, he said, if you want to crucify me, I am not worthy to die the way Jesus died. You know how Peter died? The opposite side, upside down. And that one, if I give you the explanation, is a dangerous one. All the blood that will be flowing, his eyes, everything. Why? These men gave their lives for Jesus. That is the Christianity me I came to know. I don't know the ones that people know because I took time. Maybe people don't watch these things again. It's cartoon they watch. Every Easter, we have to watch this thing again. We remind ourselves. We see it. We know it. When we are tempted to turn away, we say no. When we are tempted to do some things, we say no. When we are tempted by Satan, we say no. Why? I know Jesus who gave his life for me. I cannot afford to live like that. Every time the devil says, don't forgive, harden your heart. No, I cannot. Why? He forgave me of my own. Why will I? That's why everybody that refused to forgive, they will go to hell. Because the number one thing that God settled was forgiveness of all our sins. All our sins. Is anybody here with me today? As I wrap up this message, I want to remind you of something. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you need to come in contact with the glorified Jesus. You need to know the glorified Jesus differently. Many people do not know the crucified Jesus. They don't know him. Jesus of Nazareth, the Bible said that when Peter was preaching, he said, Jesus Christ, that you guys tortured. They knew it. The torture was still in their mind. Do you know that the young boy, John Mark saw those things and he ran away. He was a small boy. They were little boys when Jesus picked them as disciples. Some of them were teenagers, 18, 19, 20, young boys. He ran away for his life. He couldn't stand it. So what is this? How will I stand this kind of pain? That is what many people walk around on the streets. They hear about Jesus, they don't care. They hear about Jesus. Even my pain is not the unbeliever yet. My pain is the person who is in church, who knows what Jesus did, who has seen this thing, who understands it. And the next time Satan brings all manner of things, you just fall for it cheap. The reason why I will not walk away, my wife cannot stop me from adultery. She will not know when I will do it. It is the death of Jesus, when I remember what he did for me. Nobody can stop me from committing fraud. If I want to carry the money of this church and run away, nobody can stop me. Is it your business? It's the death of Jesus. That he died the death of a criminal. I cannot be one. I cannot be a foolish person not to recognize what he has done for me. That's what we remember every time and we stand in the faith. That's what we remember every time and we say, whatever be the case, we will stand. Child of God, listen to me. Time has come for every one of us to recognize that the crucified Christ must be known before the glorified Christ. If you meet the glorified Christ and you have not encountered the crucified Christ, your Christianity will be sloppy. Your Christianity will be full of all manner of sin here and there. If you know this crucified Christ, addiction can break in this service now. It will create a conviction stronger than the urge to go back to that addiction. Why? You saw him that died on the cross of Calvary for you. Rise up on your feet. When we come to that place, we have started doing the real things. That's where Christianity lies. That's where Christianity lies. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And oh, it chases me down, finds, steals, and found, leaves the 99.
I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it.
Still you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
For I spoke one, you were singing over me.
I want you to talk to him and say, Jesus, if there's any way I've trivialized your death, I've lived anyhow because I didn't consider it. I've not been steadfast. We give excuse to Jesus for everything. When it comes to the kingdom, we have excuses. When it comes to the work of God, we are busy. But this is Jesus that was not busy to die for us. He gave his all. He gave his life. He died and was battered.
You have been so kind, so kind to me. Sing, oh, the overwhelming, never reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me. Christ, it I'm found. Leaves the 99.
I couldn't earn it.
I don't deserve it.
I don't deserve it.
Still you gave.
Still you gave yourself away. No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming out to me.
Yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down, line you won't tear down.
There's no shadow you won't kick down. Clearly know the crucified Christ and live anyhow. You can't. I'm sure that some of us have known the glorified Christ. But if you know the crucified Christ, your attitude will shift. Your behavior will shift. Your service will be different. You'll be willing to give yourself. That's the reason why the early church was different. In an attempt to pass on the stories, we have caught everything left and right, and it's no longer strong. You need to come to that place where you say, Jesus, I am ready to give myself, because you gave yourself. Jesus said every man will carry their cross. If any man will not carry his own cross and follow me, he said he's not worthy of me. He's not worthy of me. He's not worthy of me. I want you to consider where you are. Consider and ask yourself, what does the death of Jesus mean to me? How does the death of Jesus play in my daily life, in my action, in my words, in the way I think, the way I act, the way I behave? Am I conscious of the sacrifice that was shed for me, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary? Because if you are not conscious of it, something is very wrong. Something is wrong. Very wrong. Examine your heart this morning. Seeing the crucified Christ. Examine your heart. Examine your heart. Examine your heart. Every act of obedience is a choice. You can choose to follow him. You can choose to disregard it. But he said, I chose my own for you. If I have chosen, I want to see your own choice. I want to see your own choice. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You are here in this service today. You know that your Christianity has been up and down. It's a good time for you to talk to Jesus where you are. And say, Jesus, I'm sorry for giving all those kind of excuses. Flimsy excuses. Excuses that many of us cannot give our boss in the office. excuses that we cannot give for anything. That if we are not alive now, we don't have excuses. Our business will shut down. That is the excuse we give to Jesus every time. Some people on Sunday morning, I want to wash my clothes. Some people, I'm so busy. Coming to church is really, really somehow. They have not known the crucified Christ. I want you to say, Lord, I am sorry. There's any way I've treated it lightly. I've taken it for granted. There is the place of the love and grace that will be taught. But you need to meet the cross first. It is the cross first. After the cross, we'll talk about the journey after the tomb. But the cross. The cross. The cross.
When anguish and lost, Jesus went to the cross and he carried my sins with him there. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With much anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross and he carried my sins with him there.
Alamaneko sande ruate lebasi babaroshka pale badash. Malika sunde neke siata rabatena maskapai. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are in this service today, you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The fate of demons that will suffer and perish in hell will be the fate of everybody that has not accepted Jesus. Even the demons, the pain will be so unbearable for them. Even the demons. Talk more of those carrying human bodies. You are in this church today, you say, Pastor Mavis, I want to accept Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Jesus came out publicly for my sake. He died publicly. He died in the death of a criminal. I want to make up my mind to follow him from today. Can you raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you this morning.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Raise your hand confidently.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. What a privilege to God. Everything.
Confidently, I'm going to pray with you. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior this morning, you want to make a decision. Listen to me. It's not a decision to joke with. It's not a decision to play about. I want you to remember this day that I intentionally made up my mind to follow Jesus. If I were you, I would take a bold step. Come out here. Let me pray with you. He came out to the cross for you. He came out. Everybody saw him naked. For your sake, come out, walk down here. I'm going to pray with you. Walk down here.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain in tears, all because we do not.
Come out confidently. I'm here waiting for you.
Everything to God.
Come out right now. Come out right now. Make sure you come out. Come out with boldness and confidence. I pray with you this morning.
Oh, what peace we have to fall.
Can you come out wherever you are? Can you keep coming wherever you are? Come with boldness. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. He did it confidently.
All because we do not carry.
Listen, if Jesus gives you opportunity to make up your mind for him and you refuse, eternal damnation. If anything happens after now and you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, one day God will give me the privilege to teach about hell so that we can see the horror and the pain of hell. You will not pray for your enemy to go there. Even if somebody raped somebody you know in your presence, you will not pray for them to go to hell. It's not the punishment you want for any of them. It's not the punishment you want for anybody. Make up your mind this morning, wherever you are. If you are online, please make sure that you indicate by pushing up an emoji so that we can connect with you personally. We want to be able to connect with you personally. Can you say after me this morning? Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. I am sorry. Jesus, I am sincerely sorry for the way I have lived my life. I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness. And I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive forgiveness of sin today. And I declare now, I am born again. I am saved. And I am sanctified. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.